Paul is a dynamic communicator whose emphasis on the miraculous with signs and wonders has had a dramatic impact on the body of Christ in Australia and internationally. His forthright and anointed preaching, coupled with a great manifestation of power, has seen thousands saved, healed, set free, drastically changed, filled with God's mighty fire, and more in love with the Lord Jesus Christ than ever before. This teaching will challenge and motivate you to a whole new dimension of God's power.
Amen. Well, that's good. Okay, let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. On eschatology tonight. How many know what eschatology is? How many can spell eschatology? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, eschatology. The study of the things of the last days. And I'm going to talk about the greatest sign of his coming. And I'd like to turn with you to Matthew 24. I'm just going to talk about one sign tonight. The title of the message tonight is Good News. Matthew 24, verse 1, page 1217. The Bible says, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, see ye not all these things? Verily or truly I say to you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? How many people would like to know the signs of his coming and the things that will point to the end of the age? Well, they're all here. And you can read them in your own time. It's a great list that Jesus made. Many of them are negative. He says there'll be wars and rumors of wars in verse 6. Verse 5, he says there'll be false Christ and there'll be deception. Verse 7, he says there'll be nations rising against nations. There'll be famines and pestilence and earthquake, and he talks about many things here, and you can go through the prophets and put it all together, and it starts to read like the newspaper. The Bible says that the love of many will wax cold. The Bible says in verse 14 that there's a great sign of his coming, a great sign to look forward to prior to his coming, and this is my favorite. A lot of people say, what is my eschatology? What do I believe? Well, after all my years of studying the end times and listening to all the preachers on the end times and reading the books, my eschatology goes something like this. Jesus said, go, till I come, then we'll all go. So I'm going to go flat out till he comes, then I'm going. And that sort of, how's that, Pastor Andy? In verse 14, Matthew 24, verse 14, the scripture says this, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. There's all sorts of things that are going to happen, many of them negative. There's the rise of Antichrist and so many things that are going to happen. But Jesus said, look for this sign. He said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the nations of the earth, all over the world, as a witness or as a demonstration, I believe, that the fact that Jesus is raised from the dead in all the nations, and then shall the end come. Jesus said this gospel of the kingdom will be preached everywhere. The same gospel that he preached. I preached on this once before. Tonight I'm going a different direction altogether with this particular piece of scripture. Jesus said the gospel will be preached all over the earth to the most distant places on planet earth. To every tribe and kindred all over the earth shall go the gospel of the kingdom. How many people know what the word gospel means? The word gospel means good news. The good news of the kingdom shall be preached all over the earth. Then shall the end come. What does Jesus say will happen? He says there'll be great darkness all over the earth. There's going to be great darkness. There's going to be all sorts of depressing things all over the earth. But God is raising up a generation in the midst of the disaster and the pain and the chaos and the confusion and the occult and the helplessness and the hopelessness. God is raising up a generation that are carrying good news, and they're going to carry good news with signs and miracles all over the earth to a world that is desperately in need of hearing some good news. Jesus said, this good news of the kingdom shall be preached in all the earth. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, you are a chosen generation. How many believe that's you? We are a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Anyone believe that? Just look around, a peculiar people. Some people say, do you believe God has a sense of humor? I say, just look around, it's obvious. Obvious. The Bible says we are a peculiar people, that we should show forth or proclaim the praises of Him. Another word in the Greek is the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Tonight we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a people of God's own possession, peculiar people that are going to proclaim and declare the excellencies of our God into every part of the earth. This book is a book of good news. Let me know that this book here is a good book. This one's a good one. This is the original book. It actually was handed down from the Apostle Paul, this one. A lot of people are envious when they see this parchment and know how long that's been since it was handed down. Looks like it anyway. This book is good news. In the New Testament, we have the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of John. And that basically means the good news of Matthew, the good news of Mark, the good news of Luke, and the good news of John. It's all good news. The Bible starts off with good news and finishes up with good news. And it's got good news in the middle. The Gospels are full of good news. The Epistles are full of good news. The Minor Prophets are full of mostly good news. Some of the Old Testament prophets mixed it up, but if you read between the lines, you find good news. The Gospels are the Gospels of good news. Jesus came with good news. Christmas is a time of good news, good cheer, good news. In 1997, what God wants us to do is take out into the city of Adelaide, into the nation of Australia, into the nations of the earth, good news. The Scriptures are good news. The book of John is a book of good news. The Gospel or the good news of John is good news. I read in the book of John, in John chapter 8, that there was a lady that was caught in the very act of adultery. This lady had been caught by the Pharisees or the Sadducees or someone and dragged in before the religious leaders. The man wasn't there. He was probably one of that group. They found the lady, dragged her in, and they left the man. How many know that in a situation like that, it generally takes two people? The man was not seen. This young woman or this woman was dragged in, humiliated and devastated, dragged into the midst and thrown down on the ground in the dust, covering her nakedness and her shame, and put on show before a whole group of religious leaders that stood there ready to stone her to death in their religious attitude. And they came and they brought Jesus. They said, Master, there is a woman who has been caught in the very act of adultery. You've been asked to come. And Jesus came. And the Sadducees and Pharisees stood there in their religious outfit with their phylacteries. And how many people know what a phylactery is? It's a leather prayer box to strap on your head and just go into automatic prayer mode. Very powerful praying. They threw this woman down, and they brought Jesus in, and they said, Master, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. What must be done to her? And Jesus looked at them one by one. We all know the story. He looked at them one by one, looked into their eyes, and as he looked at them, he said, yes. He said, this woman must be dealt with according to the law. She must be stoned to death. There must be rocks taken, and she's to be stoned to death. And he looked at them, and he said, But which one of you, or the one that has no sin, let him cast the first stone. And then we know that he got down on the ground and he began to write. And we don't know what he wrote, but he began to write things on the ground. Maybe he began to write people's names. Perhaps he began to write down the names of people that the people of the law were involved with physically. Perhaps he began to write down embezzlement or certain sins that they had committed. And he began to write them down, and one by one they walked away. One by one. The Bible says, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the elders, even down to the last. They walked away. And Jesus looked at this poor lady lying on the ground, and he said, "Woman, where are your accusers?" And she said, "Lord, there are none. I have no accuser." And he said, "Neither do I accuse you. Go your way and sin no more." The Gospel of John and the stories of John, they're the good news of a God who's promised to forgive to the uttermost. The good news tonight is that God is slow to anger and quick to forgive. He is a forgiving God. The Bible says how blessed it is for the man or woman whose sins God will not take into account. The good news tonight is that Jesus Christ will set us free from the uttermost to the uttermost. Amen? It's the good news. A nobleman came to Jesus. His son was dying of a fever. The nobleman had come some distance. He walked some distance and left his little son lying at home dying of a fever. And he came to Jesus and he said, "Master," he said, "would you come with me and lay your hands upon my son that he might live, that there would be life?" And Jesus said to him, "Sir, go your way, your son lives." And the Bible says the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken. That's faith. The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken. And he went his way. And as he was walking down the road, he was met by a group of his servants. And as they came up the road, they said, "Your son's alive. Your son's alive. Your son's alive." And he said, when did this happen? And they told him the hour. And he knew that it was at the exact hour that the Son of God had spoken the word. The exact moment of time that God had spoken. The good news tonight is not just that God is the wonderful Savior, the one who cleanses of every sin, but he's the omnipotent God who is aware and caring about every detail and every aspect of our lives. The beautiful thing tonight is that God is intimately concerned about every aspect and every detail of your life and mine. He is a God who is the omnipotent, omnipresent God who knows the hair of our head. He has every hair numbered. He knows everything about us. He knows when a sparrow falls from the ground. And the good news tonight is that God is intimately concerned about every person in this place tonight, in the city, in fact, right across the earth. The Bible says that there was a little woman who was in the synagogue, and she'd been bowed down for 18 years. And Jesus was in the synagogue, and he saw this little woman up among the ladies in the synagogue, and he was speaking in that place. And he looked and he pointed and he said, "Ought not this little daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for these 18 years, ought she not to be loosed of her bond?" And he called her down. He called this little lady down, and she came down and walked across the front of the place, and he said to her, "Woman, you are loosed of your bond. You're loosed of your bond." And there was a cracking of the spine, and she stood bolt upright, healed by the power of God. I'm excited tonight. The good news is that Jesus is not just intimately knowing or understanding all of our circumstances, but it is his great desire to break the work that Satan has tried to do in your life and mine. The good news in 1997 is that Jesus was manifest for this very purpose, that he might destroy the work of the devil. I was excited in Houston, Texas. I was just talking to Pastor Rick Klimanoff just a few days ago. I might have told you the story, I don't know, but we prayed for a lady there in Houston, Texas just a few weeks ago. She had a large cancer in her body, and we laid hands on her, and the power of God came mightily on her. She shook on the ground, shook like a leaf on the ground, and went home, and she came back, and she said to Jackie, she said, "Something happened to me last night." He said, "I went home, and I went into like birth, like giving birth, And she said, I passed the cancer out of my body two or three times as big as your fist. She said, I passed the cancer out of my body, and she's been cleared of cancer. The good news tonight is that Jesus in 1997 wants to break the work of the devil in your life, in the life of your family, in the life of your friends, people nearby. Jesus wants to manifest his resurrection power in 1997. In fact, he's still working mightily at the end of 96. In fact, he wants to do it tonight. He wants to set people free here tonight. This is the good news. It's all good news. Peter had fished all night. The Bible says he'd caught nothing. And the Bible says that he came in, they were cleaning the net, and Jesus came along and he said, would you mind, Peter, if I borrow your boat? Peter said, well, I've used it all night. It's not much use to me. You can use it, Master. And Jesus took it, pushed it out from the shore, and he preached to a multitude of people there on the beach. As he said, and taught them and so on, the multitudes listened intently, and then finally he finished, and the crowds began to disperse, and Jesus said, Peter, take the boat and take it out into the water, into that area out there where it's nice and deep, and he said, throw the nets over. And Peter said, Master, we've fished all night. We haven't caught anything. We've tried all night. We've done everything we can to catch fish all night, and we've caught nothing. But nevertheless, at your word, I'll do it. And they took the boat out and threw the nets over, and the Bible says the fish came in and began to fill the net, and the nets got more and more full, and they were pulling the fish in, and the boat started to go down, and they began to cry out, would you bring more boats out? And they brought more boats out, and they filled them, and the fish filled the boat so much that they were sinking, and they brought the greatest catch they'd ever caught in their life. And Peter came down before Jesus and fell down at his feet, and he said, Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. The good news this year is that he's the one who wants to bless us with material provision. He's the Lord who wants to meet your every need. He's the one in 1997 who wants to make your business prosper. How many believe that God wants you to prosper in 97? He's the God who knows how to meet our every need. Peter came back one day, he's the feet of a tax man. And he came into the room and Jesus said, well, Peter, what do you think? Should we pay tax or shouldn't we? Peter was umming and ahhing and wondering how the Lord knew. And Jesus said, Peter, we don't want to cause any offense. He said, I want you to take a fishing line and I want you to go down to the jetty and throw the rod over and catch a fish. And the first fish you pull up, I want you to open its mouth and there will be your taxation, our taxation money in the fish's mouth. That's a great way to pay your tax. Round about June, people start buying fishing rods by the thousands. The good news is that Jesus, in 1997, wants to bless you and I beyond anything that we can understand. Hello? God wants to bless you. Wants to bless the church. Wants to bless our missionary endeavors. Supernaturally. It's a time of supernatural provision. It's all good news. The good news of the God who will supply all of your needs is the good news of Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. The Bible says that, tells us that this is the good news, the God who declared that we'll walk upon snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the devil, and nothing of the evil one shall in any wise harm us. Aren't we glad about that? The good news of this is total victory and total dominion over the powers of hell. The good news of this book is that 1996, end of 96, and into 1997, God wants us to live in a place of victory. Seated with him in heavenly places, far above all rule and principality and power and dominion. I shared a story, I don't know if I was racking my brain to see if I'd shared it here early this year, and I couldn't remember, so I'm going to tell it again. But a friend of mine, Dean Sweetman, was in Uganda. He was preaching in Uganda. And a woman came in, she came crawling, naked from the rubbish dump. She lived in the rubbish dump, lived on the food there, covered in rubbish, stark naked, came crawling into the crusade, crawled right up to the platform. Have you heard this story? No? That's wonderful. Crawling right up to the platform. When she got up to the platform, she was hissing like a snake. The woman was bound and demonized and in total despair. And Dean walked over to the edge of the platform and he said to the crowd, he said, See, this is what the devil does to a human life. This is what the devil does to a human soul. And then he took the authority and dominion and commanded the devils to come out of this woman, and with a scream, the demons of hell came out of her body. The devils came out writhing and screaming, and she was in her right mind. She sat up. They wrapped a blanket around her body and led her off out through the crowd. The following night, she got up and testified. She was in her right mind, freed of devils, set free in a few moments by the power of God. That's the good news, that in a moment of time, you can be set free. The good news is that in a moment of time, you can be healed by the power of God. The good news is that in a moment of time, you can be set totally free. She got up and testified the next night. She stood up there in clean clothes and hair all done and a new woman, new in Christ. The Bible says the good news is that any person is in Christ, they are a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, everything becomes new. She stood up there and she began to testify. But she testified how Idi Amin's army had come through. The soldiers had come through. When they came through, they grabbed her husband, who was a well-to-do man, put the revolver to his head and blew his brains out. Then they lined up her seven children in front of her and blew their brains out one after another and left their bodies on the ground. And then 24 of Idi Amin's soldiers, one by one, raped her there on the ground by the corpses of her family, and she crawled away, deprived of every bit of decency that a human life deserves, stripped of every hope, every purpose, everything in life stripped from her, every shred of human decency, everything stripped from her, so that she ranged in her mind, she crawled up to live in the rubbish, because that's what she thought she was. Taken and stand by the devil, destroyed, but in one moment of time, in one moment, one solitary moment of time, and a few words from a man of God using the name of Jesus, she was set totally free, delivered in her right mind. This is the good news. In a hurting city, in the city of Adelaide tonight, there are thousands of people out there that have been through every form of abuse, everything from divorce to sexual abuse, to physical abuse, to the greatest range of sicknesses and despair and depression. They are out there by the thousands wanting to hear that there's good news. Maybe you've come into this meeting tonight, and as you've come into this meeting, 1996 has been a year of disaster for you. Maybe you've been through pain this year that is beyond description. Perhaps as you sit here tonight, you would think nobody knows the pain that I've gone through. No one knows the despair that I've gone through. Well, the good news is that there are plenty of people here that have been almost to hell and back, but they've heard the good news of what Jesus can do for them, and they've embraced the Son of God, and they're living today in the freedom and the life. As the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things pass away. Everything becomes new, and there is hope tonight for you. There's hope for you tonight. This is the good news of a supernatural God who promised and said, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. This is the good news. This is his promise. That if we believe in the 1997 and we dare to put our trust and start to hunger with everything within us, we will see the manifest glory of God. This is the good news of our Lord, who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. The good news. The good news that declares, if any man be in Christ, he's new. Brand new. The Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will come and indwell our mortal bodies. That's the good news. How many love to see people changed by the power of God? Most wonderful thing in the world is to see people changed by the power of God. I was in Dandenong, Victoria some years ago, and I had a phone call, and it was the gruffest voice. I've told part of this story before, but I'm going to finish it tonight, or to the next phase anyway. The voice on the other end was gruff and rough. The guy rang me up and he said, is that Tim Hall? I said, yes it is. He said, have you got the Holy Spirit in your chest? I said, yes, he's well and truly in our chest. and we'd love to introduce you to him. He said, when can I come? I said, come to the church tonight. He came to the church that night. We had a powerful meeting. The Spirit of God was there. And that night he came back to our home. And he sat down there in the home and he said, tell me all about this God. He drove up a big flash car. He's a land salesman. He pulled up and he was well dressed. He sat down and he said, tell me about it. Tell me about this God. Tell me about this Jesus. Tell me about this Holy Spirit. And I shared with him and talked to him. He was an ex-sergeant major in the army. Big, powerful man. Rough and tough sort of man. Had been a combat soldier. And we talked, and the more I talked, the more his eyes started to come out of his head. And they got out further and further and further. I said, if I don't leave this guy to Christ, his eyes will drop out. I said, Alan, do you want to give your heart to Jesus? He said, yes, I do. Yes, I do. And he prayed the sinner's prayer, and the tears literally gushed down his face, poured down his face as he got saved. A few nights later, I had a phone call. He'd rung his son, who was up in Queensland. Up there in Queensland, he had felt, as he talked to his dad, that there was something different. He said, Dad, I want to find out what's happened to you. I had a phone call from Alan. He said, my son's at my house. He said, I've just led him to Christ. He came down to see what's happened to me. And he said, I want you to pray for him for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I went over to the house and prayed for this young soldier that he might receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He got mightily filled, transformed by the power of God. Alan's wife got saved and other son got saved. And for a number of years, he was in our church in Dandenong. Well, the good news is that he went with us to Papua New Guinea, went to sing up there and got excited about the ministry. And then he went to the little church on. Took a couple of churches on. In the last 18 months, he took a church on in Canberra, a church of about 150 people. This Christmas, it's reached nearly 700 in number in just a bit over 18 months, going from 150 to 700. He just recently went in and preached in Serbia, and the nation has been torn apart by war, and the miracles broke out, blind eyes opened up, crippled people got healed, hundreds and hundreds got touched and changed. The joy of the Lord swept through, the power of God hit them. They got slain on every side. And he said, so you know that this is God. He said, within the next week, and he prayed, God said, I'm going to put an earthquake, cause an earthquake to happen. And he said, well, God, don't let anyone get injured. And he said, so that you know that what has been shared, because a lot of the elders were resisting the things that were happening. He said, so you know that this is God. He said, there's going to be an earthquake, and it'll be within 7 days. And 4 days later, the whole city shook under an earthquake, and the people were rocked. They wanted to come back and do a citywide crusade up there for the glory of God. The good news is that Jesus will take a human life, and if anyone's in Christ, they become new creatures. Everything passes away, and all things pass away. Everything becomes new. What a way to start 1997 as a brand new creature. You might be in this meeting tonight, you don't know Jesus. What a way to start 1997, knowing that you've been born again by the Spirit of God. That no longer are you on your way to hell, but you're on your way to heaven, walking and living with God. That's the good news. The good news tonight is that we can be one spirit with Christ. If we're joined to him, we become one spirit with him. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead literally comes and indwells us with power. Tonight in this place, there will be a demonstration of the power of God. Not because I'm here, but because tonight we are in union with the Spirit of God. Good news is tonight that we can be quickened to life by his Spirit in the inner man. I have a friend, he's a little Aboriginal man. I've told the first part of the story before. I'm going to give you the last chapter that just occurred in the last 2 weeks. A little man called Yondi. He came over to one of Rodney Howard Brown's meetings, just a little Aboriginal man from out there in the Kimberleys, about so tall, just a little uneducated Aboriginal man, beautiful little guy, quiet, humble, shy little man. And he sat in one of Rodney Howard Brown's meetings over in Brisbane, and he shook under the power of God. He shook like a leaf under the power of God, uncontrollably. They took him back to the hotel, and he shook violently under the hand of God. And then they took him by car right back to Western Australia, and he shook all the way back and he got back to his home area of 300 people still shaking under the power of God, and the power of God hit the community there, and in the space of 6 weeks, two of the 300 in that community were coming to the church there. And they pulled the gates down and the fences down off his property, and people began to walk onto his property and get slain under the power of God, and they'd carry them in, and they'd get saved, baptized in the Spirit, and take out church membership. Well, Ioannis had a solid year and a half, or whatever it is now. They turned their community upside down, and just before Christmas, he felt he should go and see his relatives. So he took a trip. It was only about 2 months ago he took this trip. And he went back to his relatives. He's still shaking under the hand of God and under the power of God. And he went to this area, and I can't give you the exact name, but it's over there called Love Grange something, an area with a population of 600. He went to his relative's house, and he started to preach to his relatives. And the power of God had to hit them, and they began falling under the power of God. And out in the yard, they started to fall under the power of God. So he got out on the yard, and he began to preach. And he started to preach loudly, and people would come out of their house to see what was going on, and collapse under the power of God until the whole community were under the power of God. And he went around in 24 hours, and he led 400 people there to Christ. 400 in 24 hours. Most of them were on the ground. And he went and declared good news. 1997, God wants you and I to begin to proclaim good news, to carry the good news of the anointing of God, to manifest the good news of his healing power, to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Start to share everywhere we go. Revival is going to come as every one of us understands that we're there to proclaim good news to a dying and sick community. It was exciting because the Catholic priest, it was a Catholic community, and the Catholic priest got up and he publicly repented before all the people that he had not shown them the reality of God. He repented to the whole community and said, for all these years, I've shown you a form of religion, but now this man here is showing you reality. Hallelujah. The good news tonight is that Jesus is alive. The good news tonight is that Jesus is alive and manifesting his power on planet Earth. The good news tonight is that he's the great healer, that he's the great deliverer, that all power has been given in his name. Amen. That's the good news. It's 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 good news. Hallelujah. The good news is that we can be filled with all the fullness of God. Good news is that we can be washed clean as though we've never sinned. Bible says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins were as scarlet, I'll make you as white as snow. And the good news is that the good news with signs and miracles and demonstration is going to be preached in every town, every hamlet, every state, every territory, and every village across the earth. And Jesus is going to manifest his glory, and then shall the end come. Tonight it's good news. I want us just to bow in prayer. That's long enough. That's almost more good news than we can handle.
We hope you've enjoyed these little teachings, as well as being challenged by it. If you have any questions concerning what you have heard, or are interested in any other great resources from Temple International Ministry, why don't you contact us at the address on the cover of this tape series. God bless you.
If that includes World Harvest Miracle Crusade, Post Office Box 4049, Seaton, South Australia 5023. You can also email Tim at timhall@timhall.com.au. God bless you. This message has been copied by permission, put on the internet with Tim's permission. All rights reserved.